This is PFW in progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddy in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddy and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs.
And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie. Won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. I'm dumb. I'm smart. And I want to spend.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer conciliating. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. That's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime conciliating, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Welcome again to PFW in Progress, Thursday afternoon, Gillette Stadium. This is Andy Hart alongside. We have a very, very special guest today. You should be privileged as listeners. You will get to enjoy the opinions and ideas of one of the great, great, great men in New England sports media, rising superstar locally, nationally even, getting some gigs. Paul Perillo is alongside us for the afternoon. PFW in progress. Paul, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks.
That's it? Give me that glowing, glowing introduction, and all you can say is I'm fine?
You're a bad guy.
Why am I? Worcester Telegram. Yeah, you work for the Worcester Telegram. You work for WEEI like 7 days a week. You're on TV every night.
Two or seven.
You're on TV every night. You're big on cable. You're everywhere.
I've been on TV as many times as you have this week, just so you know.
You didn't do Fox Sports New England this week?
No, tomorrow.
All right, you got me there. Anyway, PFW in progress, as I said, Thursday afternoon. Paul and I will be taking you through the first hour, 12 to 1, talking about the Patriots, the Dolphins, where this team's at right now, where the Dolphins are, and how you expect Sunday's game to play out, AFC East battle that could kind of close the door on the rest of the teams in the AFC East, I think, if the Patriots go out and do what we expect them to do. Patriots will have a win against all of them, and I don't expect any of them to crawl out of the hole they're digging.
They can certainly close the door on the Dolphins. I'd give them a three-game lead with a win over Miami. So I wouldn't see any comeback. Now, the other two teams seem like they're middling along. I don't think either one of them is a contender in any way, shape, or form. However, I mean, they are only a game behind. So, you know, depending on what happens, you know, with Buffalo and the Jets, you know, moving forward, until they actually do eliminate themselves, you have to consider them as part of the puzzle. I agree.
They're done.
I agree with your scoffing face that you made. I don't think either one of those teams has what it takes to, you know, to make a run. But at the same time, a lot of people thought Miami did. And they're, you know, obviously,
as Nick Saban said, they did nothing to earn those predictions.
No.
Or deserve them.
And, you know, a lot of what I hear from Nick Saban, I like. You know, stuff like that. And you know, I remember back last year when he was talking about the development of the team, and he got roundly criticized for saying it wasn't necessarily all that important, you know, the wins and losses at the time. He wasn't, I think he said, I'm not concerned right now with the wins, with winning games. And look, it's a blunt assessment, but it's very accurate. It's very true. And you know, when you're a rebuilding team, you need to be concerned with more than just how many games that you're winning as a team. You have to look at the big picture. And I think Nick Saban does a good job of looking at the big picture.
The big picture here is the second hour. Tom will be joining us. Fred will be joining us. And we are going to go around the NFL, make our picks this week with a bit of a change to the picks. We've decided Fred Kirsch, our boss, the man behind everything that's done here at PFW and
Fred Kirsch,
Patriots.com, has decided we are now going to use spreads when we make our picks. So,
that's my money, Paul.
Yeah, a bit of a change.
Picking them by the number.
And I virtually guarantee Fred will never go 15-1 again.
Well, You go 15-1.
I virtually guarantee I'll be happy if I'm 500 week in and week out with the spreads. I don't think I will.
Anything over 500, in my opinion, is good.
So if you do want to join us and talk about this Sunday's game or the Patriots or, you know, Ellis Hobbs injury, the changes, different things, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to give us a call, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. We understand that our listeners in Phuket, Thailand will probably email us because it is an expensive phone call. But we'd love to hear from you. We know we're pretty big in Phuket. I've always liked Phuket.
Thailand.
And the maturity level on this show is zero.
What are the odds, Kevin?
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
What were the odds? Can you hear me cackling in the background, by the way? What were the odds that Andy was going to have fun with that? As Tom predicted immediately, as soon as
Phuket, Thailand.
As soon as he said it the first time.
It's actually pronounced Phuket. Like Fred would.
You know what I think is funny is we were just discussing that email off the air on our way down to the show with Bob Doyle, the producer of
underrated funny part of this
VN, and Paul says, you know, Phuket in Thailand, and Bob goes, oh yeah, 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 like he knows who's ever heard of Phuket, Thailand.
Well,
he's one of those people that reads like the Wall Street Journal and knows about wars and politics and stuff. He's not an idiot like me.
He knows about real things, not about like
he knows about the world,
not necessarily about the Patriots 3-4 and Ellis Hobbs' scaphoid bone injury.
Right. I thought that was very fun. Who would have thought that anyone that we work with would know where Phuket is?
Right. And he knew.
He did.
Oh, yeah, Phuket.
I was amazed by that. Anyway, the Patriots. Paul, you were at Bill Belichick's press conference. Third down day here at Gillette Stadium. The Dolphins have an extensive third down package. What are you looking for?
What am I looking for? I'm looking for the Patriots to stop the Dolphins on third down. You know, I just think the Dolphins' offense is really struggling. I think they're really struggling. I think Culpepper's having a hard time coming back from the injury. I think he's having a hard time mixing in with a new offense.
Well, they had a great game last week.
Yeah, I know. That's what Bill said. And I also think that Ronnie Brown's struggling a little bit coming out of the blocks. I think
aren't those all related to one thing? Their offensive line stinks?
Yes, absolutely. And
if Culpepper was standing back there with no pressure on him, I think he'd be playing a lot better than he is because of the pressure. He's been sacked 21 times.
And not only that the offensive line is not real good, but you also throw into the fact that they've had several injuries up front. So they're dealing with guys who in the first place weren't all that strong, and now you're going three deep at guard. You know, it's a bad situation right now. The point I'm trying to make is I don't think this is the week to get healthy. You know, I don't think it's the week that all of a sudden you get your offense back in gear. You don't come to Foxborough and play the Patriots coming off a win that they just came off of against Cincinnati and cure all your ills. It just doesn't seem like it's a good matchup for Miami.
Especially when your ills have been against teams like Tennessee and Houston and who else have they played that's crappy? Pretty much
everyone. Buffalo.
Those are the games they need to be winning in the hopes of building
they
towards
should,
a meeting with
I mean,
the Patriots.
They opened the season at Pittsburgh, and then they played three cupcakes, and they're 1-3.
Yeah, they barely beat Tennessee.
They should be 3-1, and if you're a legitimate contender, the way they, you know, many perceive them. And I thought that they would be a playoff team. I did. I didn't think they would be a contender for the division, but I thought they could squeak into a wild card.
Are they the worst team in the
division? They should have been 4-0.
Are they the worst team in the division right now?
Oh, yeah, without question. Right now?
Do you think they'll end up as the worst team in the division?
No. I think they'll right the ship at some point. I think they have more talent than probably both Buffalo and the Jets. For as badly as they were outplayed in that Buffalo game, they still had several opportunities to win it because I think they have better players than Buffalo does.
Rank the teams right now, 1-4, AFC East, at the quarter mark.
The way they're playing or the talent?
Just the team as it's consisted right now, what they're doing.
The Jets
on the
ahead
field.
Of Buffalo.
So New England, the Jets, Buffalo, Miami.
I'm sorry. New England I thought was a given.
I'm just saying.
I thought that was one of those two-column deductive proofs. You know, you get the part that's given. The Patriots being the best team in the AFC East is a given in my mind.
You're kind of a geek, huh? Two-column deductive proofs?
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
Should we get right into the email since we are basically half a show today?
And in other words, we have nothing else to talk about?
Well, no, I could talk about other
things.
Well,
before you do that...
I could talk about Doug Gabriel doesn't come in the locker room when I'm trying to write a story about
him. I have an update
him.
On that for you, by the way.
What is it?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, off the air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was he arrested or something?
No, not at all. Nothing like that at all. No, nothing. But I think we may be having to go in a different direction with that.
Oh, good.
Anyway.
Wide receivers just don't talk on this team.
Yeah.
Troy Brown. And you know where that comes from. The position coach.
That's what I wanted to update you about. As long as you're throwing it out there.
Well, I kind of knew that from the beginning when I knew he was a factor in Rishay Caldwell not really talking early in his career here.
Well,
he's a descendant of Nick Saban.
It's not necessarily that in this specific case. It's more of, it was posed to me, how would you feel if people were telling you you were a terrible writer for the last 3 weeks? Would you want to come out and talk about it?
Of course you would. You love to hear your own voice all the time. Right?
Walked right into that one.
So Doug Gabriel will not be an upcoming Pulse story, apparently, in Patriots Football Weekly.
I think that we might be able to see if we can make overtures about it.
They know how, you know, PFW works, and if at all possible, we really look to find the positive in stories.
Generally, the story
will finish
with...
Doug Gabriel, over the past game and a half, has been the receiver for this team.
If we explain it to him, you know, we can say, and as long as he has Tom Brady delivering the ball, they have a chance.
Andy, you're full of crap.
Speaking of crap...
Craig from South Carolina on the line. Craig, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Craig.
You guys said you didn't have a whole lot to talk about, so I figured, well, I'd go ahead and contribute a little bit. Lawrence Maroney is apparently on his way to winning Rookie of the Week and also the FedEx Ground Player of the Week.
Did you vote?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's 20 points
75
ahead.
Times.
No. He's ahead of Lawrence Maroney Marcus Colston by 20% on the Rookie of the Week, and he got 60% of the vote on the FedEx Ground. So.
And Jarvis Green was the Defensive Player of the Week in the AFC. Lots of Player of the Week honors.
Yeah, well, you know, things came together.
Tends to happen when you blow out what was supposed to be a very good football team.
Well, I think it tends to happen when, you know, Belichick puts a plan into action and the players execute it. And, you know, we're on the positive side of the turnovers. You know, that goes a long way. And they did play a little bit less vanilla last week. I think that's the first time I've seen Corey Dillon, you know, go from his normal running back position to a wideout on the far end. And had Brady drop back into the shotgun. That was kind of interesting.
Well, that happened against Denver as well.
In the
Yeah, they went five wide. Matter of fact, that's when Jonathan Smith got his only playing time. They went five wide early in that Denver game, and Dillon was one of the guys matched up out wide. And, you know, in terms of the turnovers, too, I think it's interesting because for three quarters of that game, they were minus one in turnovers and thoroughly dominating. So,
right.
You know, I don't really think that had as much to do with the game as a lot of other people do. I think it was a very welcome sight, however, to see the Patriots come up with a couple of turnovers in the fourth quarter, come up with four sacks, you know, really turn up the pressure once they got the game one-dimensional. And, you know, clearly that's what you're looking for, is to finish a team off the way they did. And that was very encouraging. And, you know, hopefully moving forward they can continue as a defense to make some of those plays maybe earlier in the game and make, you know, the second half irrelevant.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Craig, did you buy a Lawrence Maroney jersey yet?
No.
Are you going to?
Probably.
For your son, at least?
He's going to be with us for a while, so.
Well, at least 5 years.
Hopefully he doesn't pass away.
I'd say at least 4 years.
I've got about six jerseys from former players.
So he would be a safe one for the next couple of years, assuming nothing bad happens.
Yeah, you'll get a good 4 years out of it.
Yeah, well, that's fine with me. That's all you can ask for.
I'd log on to the Patriots Pro Shop on Patriots.com and order it today.
I'm there all the time, dude. I was up there on vacation and bought some stuff. I went up there and watched the Revolution play.
Oh, wow.
That was cool. Yeah,
do you have a whole section? Oh, sorry.
Were you one of 10 fans in attendance that night?
No, actually, it was fairly crowded. Of course, they only have, you know, half the stands filled. You know, because they have the others roped off or whatever.
But right.
It was an entertaining game. I went there with my brother. You know, we had a good time. Got to talk to a couple of the players.
Cool.
I mean, it's pretty. My brother's a big time Revs fan. He's got season tickets.
Wow, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the man.
So, what do you look for this week, Craig?
Attention, you were all losers.
Well, sometimes things just fall into place. You know, we've got good players on our team. You know, it's all a matter of, you know, executing everybody's individual positions, how they react on certain plays. If the Patriots, you know, execute like they're capable of, I kind of expect that they'll probably beat Miami by anywhere between 14 and 17 points. I'm not one of these pie-in-the-sky guys being a long-term fan. I know that Miami has typically always given Brady fits. But then again, Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain aren't there anymore. Some of the guys that have been their cogs on defense, you know, are getting a little bit older. I just don't, in the way they're playing, I just really don't see the defense being a big threat to our offense. However, I think people are underestimating how Dante Culpepper has played. He's not running around like he used to, and he's definitely not performing, you know, like he did several years ago. However, he is doing a fairly good job. His passer rating is just under 80, and everybody's making a big deal of Steve McNair going to, you know, Baltimore, you know, and him being the savior of Baltimore. Well, McNair's passer rating is only 75.
And yeah, but aren't the...
What's the Ravens' record?
Right, and they're going to be asked to do two different things. In Baltimore, they're just looking for a quarterback to do what McNair's been able to do the last couple of weeks and lead late drives, and, you know, when the defense keeps you in the game, just make a play here or there. I think Culpepper was expected to go to Miami and really make that offense into a dynamic offense with the other weapons they have.
And he may still, you know, once he's healthy, but at this point of the season, based on, you know, how the team has performed on both sides of the ball, I really don't see the Patriots having a problem with this game.
I don't either, and you mentioned Brady's struggles. I think with the way this team's running the ball right now, it doesn't matter if he struggles a little bit, because that's the strength of the offense right now, running the ball. And I'm starting to believe that they, more often than not, pretty much every week, are going to be able to run the ball successfully, and I think that'll take a lot of pressure off.
And I think
Brady.
you can run it on Miami, too. I agree with Andy.
Yeah, unless our wide receivers continue to make progress, you know, like Gabriel did last week, I don't think that running the ball to set up the pass is a bad idea.
No question. Even if they do make progress, if you can run the ball, run it first and then pass.
Oh, yeah.
Big believer in that.
I hear you.
All right, Craig, over to Patriots.com. Oh, well, I guess you're on it technically right now. Over to the Pro Shop, order that jersey.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
Ken Flanders, that man will be very happy. He likes to see his numbers go up every month.
All right, guys, you take it easy.
Peace out.
Have a good one, Craig.
All right, bye.
I agree. I agree with Craig. You know?
Wow.
I do. I
so
think
you're going to be going
to
a Revs game soon with Rich?
No, I think this is going to be a fairly easy game. Fairly, you know, I don't think they're going to blow them out by, you know, 28 points or anything like that, but I think, you know, like, what did Craig say, 14, 17 points? I could see that, and I don't really think it's going to be much in doubt in the second half.
What about the fear of they have some weapons in the passing game? Each of the guys
that
have given this team problems. There's been games where Randy McMichael gave this team problems, game when Marty Booker gave this team problems, games when Chris Chambers gave this team problems. What about the fear there added, combined with the fact that this team has given up big plays in the secondary? I know last week, great story, Hank Poteet's out there, Troy Brown's out there, and they shut down that passing attack pretty much. But this offense has given this team problems, and if Culpepper has the time, maybe they can do it again?
Yeah, no, I think that's a legitimate fear. I think that if, for whatever reason, you know, somehow Miami is able to protect Culpepper a little bit better than they've been able to so far, then perhaps they can make some plays in the passing game, because I do think that the Dolphins receivers are pretty good. We know that Culpepper can throw the football. I mean, we know he has a pretty good arm. He can make big throws.
All the throws?
Well, yeah.
Bill would say.
Yeah, but I don't want to just, I mean, I think it's accurate in this case. I think Dante Culpepper is a gifted passer. I don't think he's the most accurate passer that you'll ever see. And, you know, I don't think he'll, you know, thread the needle in tight coverage, you know, all that often. But I do think that he can get the ball downfield to guys like Chambers and Booker. And McMichael's a guy who periodically has been a problem for the Patriots secondary. So there is a fear there. I think they're going to need to run Ronnie Brown a little bit better than they have so far this year if they're going to stay competitive in this game. He's only averaging, I think, 3.5 a carry. That's not good enough. I don't expect them, like I said, off the top, and I agree with you, Andy, I just don't expect Miami to get well against the Patriots. Right. I think the defense is too good. I think the most part, that front seven is still intact, even though there's some flux in the secondary. I don't think Ellis Hobbs will play coming off surgery 10 days after surgery. I don't see that happening, but I think they have enough.
Before I jump into the emails, because we have an interesting one from Dwayne Smith, who emailed at 12:51 a.m., so he clearly wasn't sleeping last night, and he was thinking Patriots, so we had an overnight pre-mail, and then he just emailed in again at 12:02 p.m., so, you know, burning the midnight oil, both ends of the candle here. Really a
see if you can get all the
tremendous
out there in one sentence.
But what do you think of Shakira?
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Because, you know, as we always do here at PFW in Progress, we have the Spanish channel on the TV in
She's
the background.
Hot too.
And they're doing a little Shakira package, and... yeah, she's got it. You know how you always talk about it on the football field? She's got it. Whatever it is, she's got it.
I would totally agree with that.
Because she's...
I don't think she's the most... she's not, I don't think overly attractive, but she's incredibly hot.
Sexy.
Yes.
Alluring.
This is the kind of thing that usually leads to about 12 emails ripping us to stop talking about the Patriots and third down defense again.
That's why I'm doing it. I like taking them off our
list. Yes, I'm a big fan of Shakira. What do you think, Gary?
Me likey. She's hot, too.
WebRadioPatriots.com if you want to chime in about Shakira, or if you would like to talk some football, we can do that as well. As I said, our first email today leading off is from
you
Dwayne
know
Smith.
I don't speak Spanish.
In the overnight. She does. In fact, her CDs, she does like dual CDs where the songs are all in English and then all in Spanish.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
She speaks the universal language of hot. That's what she speaks.
I thought you were going to say amor.
No, that's Spanish.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
So it can be a universal language of something in English, but not in Spanish. Just so you know, Gary.
I'm not even mad.
Who's in the big chair?
Amazing.
I'm running this show right now. She's hot, and that's universal. Amor is Spanish. You idiot. We got to get to this Dwight Smith email because it's a long one.
And, all right.
Just some notes. Doug Gabriel, last week... Did you turn that up? You didn't want to hear me? You just wanted to listen to Shakira for a while? You need a minute? Doug Gabriel. Last week I sent in an email which stated that Doug Gabriel sucked. I can now say that his status has been upgraded from sucks to average. I still want to see more, but I'm happy with the improvement that he's shown. I agree with that.
I think the two games that you've seen out of Gabriel are very encouraging.
I thought he sucked against the Jets, actually.
Yes, he didn't. He had a hard time, I thought, getting off the line, getting
open. Apparently so
open.
Did Bill, because he chose not to play him in the first half the following week.
I agree. And I felt that he has been encouraging the last couple of weeks. I think he's a guy that he's a bigger target, I think, than some of those over-the-middle third down plays. You know, I think they were impressive. And now he's not generating a lot of attention. I mean, let's see what happens now when other teams, they have a little tape on him now in the Patriots offense. He's going to be a guy, you want to stop the Patriots passing game, he's going to be a guy you target. Let's see what happens when they do that.
Even that, to me, makes the offense better because they didn't have anybody else.
No,
now maybe Benjamin Watson finds a little more, maybe the running game finds a little extra space. You know, if you have more of those guys that teams at least need to watch the tape and prepare for, that makes you better as an offense.
Yes.
The beginning of the year, you didn't have any.
I agree.
You certainly, Rishay Caldwell, you know, tough as he is getting up from that hit last week, I'm not saying he's a guy I need to prepare for. I think he's just a receiver. He's a three, a four. No, Doug Gabriel has shown the ability to get open. You know, there was a coverage breakdown on his touchdown, obviously. You could see it easily. But he's made some plays. He had that 19-yard grab later in the game. He's made some plays. That's what this offense needed from a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They got it.
As I said, I'm encouraged.
And you still haven't gotten anything from Chad Jackson, basically. Once he gets out there, I think you'll see him with the ability to make some plays. Maybe not consistently, but enough so that he's a consideration for the opposing defense.
I think
defense.
The passing game will be fine.
I do, too. I think it's going in the right direction. I have that from a very good source. Can't say who, though, because I was eavesdropping on a conversation.
Oh, nice.
Lawrence Maroney. I'm thoroughly impressed with Maroney. The one thing that impresses me most about Maroney is his balance. This guy seems to never be tripped up and breaks tackles like a man on a mission. When there is a hole, the defense only has two options, gang tackle him or get him before he gets to the line of scrimmage. If neither happens and there is a hole, it's a first down every time. I've been thinking it, but before the draft, I was hesitant to say it. I will say it now. Maroney is a better NFL player than Reggie Bush.
They've played four games.
I would agree.
I'm not ready to make that determination.
And they're different players.
And I'm not ready to say Reggie Bush is better than Lawrence Maroney either.
Right. And they're different players. We've obviously seen very good things from Lawrence Maroney in three out of his four games. Got bottled up a little bit by the Broncos. But I thought an interesting number with the struggles against the Broncos, and then even the beginning of last week, his first few carries of the game, he was bottled
worried.
Up.
You were a little worried early.
He was at the line of scrimmage, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose, and he's just all over the place. But he has 60 carries. 10 of the 60 have gone for more than 10 yards. That's pretty good. One out of every six goes for more than 10 yards.
That's amazing.
That's what you call productive.
That's amazing. I didn't know that stat. That's very impressive.
Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Okay, there's another note here, and it's kind of targeted at you.
Oh, good.
I'd like to hear reporters, and in parentheses he puts Michael Felger, Paul Perillo, amongst others, stop using the reasoning that, quote, they could have re-signed these guys earlier, when referring to the Pats' offseason, without identifying the entire situation. The Pats spent to the cap every year under the old CBA. So to say that they should have re-signed Branch and Givens would imply that they should have been given a raise earlier, which conflicts with the fact that the Pats spent to the cap. The real problem stemmed from the terrible free agent class of that year, which was a waste of resources that could have been used to re-sign young talent, which led to the 2006 offseason meltdown when the veterans hit free agency. It makes me shudder to consider that during the 2005 offseason, a Patriots personnel guy was thinking, quote, hey, let's worry about Branch Givens and Vinatieri later. We have to get this guy Corey Dillon to a lucrative extension, and we have to go get Dwayne Starks in a Patriots uniform. Can he definitely fill in for Ty Law? He can definitely fill in for Ty Law. Monty Beisel, Dwayne Starks, and Chad Brown? We're stacked, baby.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't he kind of answer the question in his own email?
A little bit. Of course, we have no way of knowing if that was the real thought process. The real one might have been closer to, we're screwed. But hey, I'm happy with the team. The front office needs to have a better hitting percentage on these free agents and better timing for contract extension offers.
I agree. I think everything in that email I agree with. Except, you know, I just think that his philosophy is very similar to what he claims Mike Felger and my philosophy was. You could have done this earlier if you chose to allocate your resources differently.
Properly. You screwed up.
That's all.
You had some misses.
Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly.
They've had some misses in free agency.
I like the 800 number one better. That 800 number, I forgot.
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Is that cut up or?
No, that really happened.
That's the real quote. He forgot the number?
That 800 number, I forgot it. I'm sorry.
And then all of a sudden somebody was willing to throw money at him for his own show. I can see why.
Another example of me cackling in the background, too.
You do that a lot. You're a cackler. Webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 1230 here in Foxborough, the bowels of Gillette Stadium.
You have like a countdown going on.
I am not Ted Sarandis.
Are we
going
to start taking breaks now?
No, I don't take breaks.
Why?
Until we run out of emails. That's when I take breaks.
No, see?
I don't run out and say, I have to pee like Fred.
We have sponsors that we need to take care of.
Well, we'll get to those in the break between when we're joined by the Z team, Tom and Fred. The A-team right now is running through the first hour with emails. Webradio@patriots.com.
They're like the double V team. Forget about Z. Z's too high for that. They're like at least twice around the alphabet.
Oh, like when you go to the stadium and then A through Z and then double A through double Z?
Right. That's halfway through the alphabet for the second time.
That gets me sometimes. You get tickets to somewhere and you see like row
double B,
double B and you're like,
wow, second row.
Wow. Oh, row 28. Interesting. Peter Blazik says, hey, guys.
Hey, Peter.
First, obviously it was a great game over the weekend. It really makes one's day. I love to see how our line finally played up to its potential and created holes for the runners. Obviously, the Bengals are not great against the run, but it's still a big thing. Gabriel showed some spark, which is good, as it may end up generating less eight-men-in-the-box defenses against our running attack in the future. In the meantime, I was talking to my friends, and we found that Banta Kane and Colvin are terrible in coverage. In parentheses, common ex-defensive end problem, I guess. And I just hope that not too many offensive coordinators will undermine that. I'm happy that Chad Scott is getting some reps now. He is a classy person and good, tough player as well. I hope he lives up to the opportunity. Gostevsky, or whatever his name is, that's Gostowski, can have some serious confidence problems, but as he is so young, I would give him some time. But it is not good if he misses some field goals when it really counts. I know that you dismiss the fact that he kicks a lot of deep kickoffs for touchbacks, but it takes away a chance from opposing kick returners, and our kick return coverage was putrid in the last couple of years. I don't think anybody.
Yeah,
really
we're not dismissing that. We're just saying if there's one thing that we can choose, I'm going to give away the one that we're doing and take the one that we're not doing.
And doing it well doesn't overshadow the fact that he's missed three kicks.
Right.
And two of them were clearly really, really bad. One was so low that it probably would have hit a lineman in the head if it wasn't blocked. And the other was one of the worst kicks I've ever seen on an NFL football field to go wide right by six goalposts.
And I want to stress here that no one, at least that I've heard on this show, is advocating in any way that it's time to pull the plug on this kid and give up.
This is what happens when you have a rookie kicker.
We were all very impressed with him during training camp. We all thought that he had a strong leg, good athlete, seemed like, you know, he has a good head on his shoulders. We like him. We like the way he kicks the ball. It's early. A lot of kickers struggle when they first come out of the gates. You know, I always say this, Andy, you can't compare him to Adam Vinatieri now. You have to compare him to Adam Vinatieri when Adam was a rookie in 1996.
And he compares favorably.
And they both missed three of their first four kicks, if I'm not mistaken. So let's, you know, kind of put the brakes on here and you know, don't put words in anybody's mouth. No one's saying that it's time to get rid of this kicker. No one's saying it's time, you know, bring in a veteran or whatever. I know that there's been some articles about that elsewhere, but it's not coming from this show. And it's not that we're homers either. It's, you know, I think we're all intrigued by his athleticism.
Fred's not even on the show today.
Right. You know, and we're all intrigued by his athleticism. We all think he can do the job. Just got to bear with him a little bit and go through the growing pains a little bit.
As a Patriots fan, my one fear would be, because I think he's going to be a very good NFL kicker, that he ends up being a very good NFL kicker somewhere else because it just doesn't work out here.
I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll go back, you know, way back. I'll let you make fun of me because you always make fun of me for being old. Back in the late 70s.
That I always make fun of you
back
for.
In the late 70s, they had great teams here in New England with Chuck Fairbanks as the coach. John Smith was their longtime kicker. He got hurt one year. I think it was 1978. They needed to get someone in here to replace him. No.
Oh.
They needed to replace him. They signed a couple of guys. One of the guys they signed was Nick Lowry. He came in and he missed his first attempt, gone.
Had a pretty good career, huh?
They ended up signing a kid named David Posey who kicked the rest of the season. He missed more than he made, but he made a big one to clinch the division late in the year. Anyway, it didn't end up being a huge problem. However, Nick Lowry is probably one of the best 10 kickers of all time. Unfortunately for New England fans, he did all that work in Kansas City with the Chiefs because the Patriots, you know, obviously weren't impressed that he missed his first kick.
Well, I don't know it'll be that quick.
So I don't want to see something like that happen.
I think it's pretty common for young kickers sometimes. It just doesn't work out in their initial stop, and then they have a lot of success. Like Neil Rackers. Didn't he start out somewhere
else? Rackers was in Cincinnati, but he was pretty good in Cincinnati, too. I thought he
struggled early.
Maybe he did. I don't know. I thought he was
struggling.
And the guy from Pittsburgh.
Nick Lowry, by the way, was 0 for 1 in 1978 from 40 to 49 yards. So it was a fairly lengthy kick that he missed. And then they got rid of him. Posey ended up going. He went, let's see, 11 for 22 on field goals.
Solid.
So that's the guy they replaced him with, including 5 for 11 from 30 to 39 yards.
And then Josh Brown, he's become a pretty good kicker, hasn't he? Isn't he the guy from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think so.
Then he went to Houston?
No, that was Chris Brown. He went to Houston. Chris Brown is the one who missed a lot of...
In Pittsburgh.
No, I think, isn't it Josh Reed in Seattle?
I thought he was a wide receiver for the
Basically,
Bills.
Andy and... yeah, no, you might be right. Basically, Andy and Paul know nothing... about the kicking game in the NFL.
But I know there's been cases of kickers
Chris
struggling.
Chris Brown's a guy
early.
Who struggled in Pittsburgh. I know that. He went to Houston, but...
And I also remember Josh Miller telling me he was going to be a very good kicker in this league. He thought he was very good. Of course, he's been telling me all along that it's not Gostkowski's fault.
Right. Good snap, good hold, good kick.
Not going to sell me on that one watching that one in Cincinnati.
That's not on you, kid.
As Michael Felger wrote, wasn't even in the same area code as the uprights. The main reason why I wrote is that I know that it is more work for you guys, but I love that the show is now almost every day. I download it to my MP3 player in the morning and on the way to work, I can listen to the latest news. It is quite a story that a couple of ten thousands of miles away from you on a local train, I can listen to a U.S. American football show any given day. All right. That was my 2 cents. Sorry for my bad English, though. Regards from Hungary. Peter. So Peter's right, in Peter. Hungary. So I now...
Just so you know, we always, in the off season, it's Tuesday through Friday, 2 hours.
During the season.
I mean, during the season. I'm sorry. I did say off season.
Watch yourself there.
The off season is just on Wednesday still.
Right. But we also have some other podcasts, Peter. I'm not sure if you're aware. There's the Roster Report podcast on Fridays. Which you can be put to you don't want to be put to sleep on the way to work by Brian Lowe, because he hosts that show and he's got a little bit of diarrhea of the mouth. And then there's also, I don't know if you're interested, the Cheerleader Chit Chat podcast are available.
For a little while.
And they do talk about Dick every once in a while. Is that okay?
Seymour.
Gary, are we on webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com? Because we're not getting a ton of emails. I have 6 or 8 queued up, but...
Might that have something to do with your inane banter amongst yourself?
Come on, you're going to tell me no one wants to tell me how hot Shakira is?
That wasn't what I was talking about.
Oh, what? What were we talking about? I was trying to sell the podcast there with that inane banter.
Oh, okay.
Fred is, I don't know if you know, but Fred is pretty much behind those podcasts and enjoys the fact that we rate pretty highly on the Apple iTunes store
in
podcast ratings.
It's
kind of his pet project. I wouldn't take shots at it.
Chris Brown, by the way, is the one from Pittsburgh who's now in Houston.
Is he good?
He was, he was 25 for 29.
Heck yes.
25
pretty
for
good.
30. And 30 for 44.
Ooh, that's not so good. What happened there?
His last year in Pittsburgh, he was down to 68%, which is, that's a tough year. But in Houston, he's had, he's still kind of mediocre. He's basically the same. He was 81% 1 year, which is his high water mark.
Okay, so he's okay.
So he's just an average kicker.
He's a jag kicker.
But he's certainly no stiff.
He's still in the league.
I got to look up and see who Seattle's kicker is now.
It's another Brown. It's Josh Brown or Chris Brown. Which one did you just do?
I thought it was Josh Reed, and then you
said,
that's the right wide receiver. It's Josh Brown.
You look that up, and I'll keep reading. PFW in progress. Ethan in Delaware. After getting the news of the signing of Chidi Iwoma, I have a question. The Patriots are paper-thin at wide receiver, and then the Patriots cut Smith and sign a DB to take his place. I understand that the Patriots need help in the secondary due to injury. Fine. But why subtract from an already marginal area? Why not cut someone like Hill or Sullivan, which just cuts down on the automatic inactive list spots? Seems like an odd move to me. I kind of agree with that. Although I think the development of the receivers on an offense where they feel like they have receiving weapons at other positions with, as we talked about all offseason, Kevin Falk, Benjamin Watson, Daniel Graham, I think that would be part of the reason for it. But again, they're also talking about Troy Brown maybe playing some defense still. So that kind of takes him out of the receiver mix. And I agree with you. Hill and Sullivan seem, as you put it, to be automatic inactives pretty much every week unless you really get banged up on the line. With Sullivan, I think it's they're just giving him a chance to get into the system, earn a role as a backup nose tackle. A guy that has some talent, a former 6th overall pick. They want to see what he can do as he works into his role as a two-gapping nose tackle, learning to stay on blocks and all that. I don't know why Mike Keith Hill is still around. Hey, Tom Ashworth.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that you could definitely make a case for one of those two defensive linemen, Sullivan or Hill, to go. And I don't think the wide receiver... I think people like to point to how thin the wide receiver position is because, well, we don't know about Chad Jackson yet, and we don't know about Doug Gabriel yet, and, you know, Troy Brown's playing a big role. Riche Caldwell has kind of established himself as a complementary receiver, not necessarily a big gun. I don't look at it as being that thin as it is maybe we don't know who the top gun is, if that makes any sense.
They're big on guns today.
I think they have enough guys. You know
what about
I think they have enough
but
receivers.
But what if Troy's playing defense and Chad Jackson's still limited?
Well, the Chad Jackson injury is definitely a concern. Because if he's not able to go out and play, then that's a problem. However, I think in listening to Bill on Monday, I don't think he has any intentions of Troy Brown playing defense anymore. And that's what they're trying to shore up. They're trying to develop some depth at that spot so that doesn't happen anymore. Now,
is Chidi Awanahu or whatever, is he?
He's a special teams guy, but he, Bill said today he also gives us more depth back there, and we're very thin back there. So I think that's, I mean, you know, can he be worse than Troy Brown in the secondary? I'm not sure. I'm not sure he can
be. Troy Brown's been in the system, quote unquote, for a couple of years now as a defensive player.
And you know what's, don't play both sides of the fence here, because I know what you think of Troy Brown as a defensive back, and it's the same as I think of Troy Brown as a defensive back.
Yeah, but at least
look
I
out
think,
below when he's on the field.
At least I think of him as a defensive back. I don't know what this new guy is. All I know is he's shorter than Troy Brown.
I'm not saying anything about Chidi. I'm not going to pretend to know the ins and outs of his game.
Can you look up his pronunciation for me?
It's Iwoma.
Iwoma.
Yeah.
Okay. Iwoma.
Iwoma.
I think it's Iwoma.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
It's not my fault. That's his name. That's his name. And the emails, you put out one call for emails and they just start flooding you.
Well,
we just
good.
Got like seven in the course of a minute.
Basically, my story, I'm not as worried about the lack of depth at the wide receiver. I'm worried that these guys that we do have, maybe, you know, how good they are.
But take it a step further. Why are they still on the team, the defensive linemen?
I don't know why Marquise Hill is still here. I have a feeling that Jonathan Sullivan, they just, something in the back of their mind says that we can fix this guy. He's first-round talent. We can fix him. That's the only thing I can come up with.
Marquise Hill is a second-round talent. How come they can't fix him?
Well, the way I look at that, the reason why...
A second-round talent who some said would be a first-round talent if he had been able to go back to school.
The reason I don't give him that rope is because he's been here for 3 years now, and he's still in the same spot. He's inactive every week as long as there's enough guys healthy. The only way he's going to be active on game day is if you have six guys that are inactive that are injured.
I think he's an outsider. I see him coming and going solo a lot in the locker room and at different times. And I understand that's probably not being part of the mix. But he just seems like a lot of those other guys are paired up. So even Santonio Thomas, a practice squad guy.
Tony Thomas.
Mike Wright, Jarvis Green, all of them, the big three, obviously the starters. I feel like Marquise Hill's an outsider.
You might be right.
And I don't know if that's
might that be a
part
problem?
Of the problem or if it's a result of the previous years that he's been here. I'm not sure, but I have never, you know, they talk about being a pretty tight unit. I've never gotten really the feeling that he was a part of that tight atmosphere on the defensive line.
He does seem like an outsider.
And other guys have come in. Mike Wright fits in.
Stay gold, pony boy.
There you go.
I don't, what?
Stay gold.
What does that mean?
The Outsiders.
Oh, I saw that movie. Okay. A lot of famous people in that. Read the book, too.
Good job.
It's one of those in school where you read the book and then you get like 2 days to watch the movie. It's a nice little relaxation period. Fall asleep. Lights are out. It's good stuff. Ray Simmons checking in. Hey, guys. I just returned from a 2-week trip to Ireland. Nice. I'd like to go to Ireland. You ever been to Ireland?
No.
I'd like to go there.
What's the next
Simmons!
Line?
What?
I was there in August.
What's the next line for me?
You've been everywhere, and you go everywhere every week. You have more vacation time than the freaking Pope.
No, I've never been there, and no interest.
No interest? Why not? You like to drink.
I don't have any interest.
But everything's on tap over there. You only drink out of the
plus
bottle.
Plus, it's all Guinness.
While amazing, did cost me the opportunity to watch the Jets and Broncos games, the latter probably being a blessing in disguise. Anyway, so I come back, and I watch the Bengals game expecting the worst and was happy with the results. I feel like from what I've watched, I don't really know my New England Patriots as a whole yet, having seen just the Buffalo and Bengals games. So I'm going to list some of my observations from what I've seen, and I'd like you guys to sound off or add to them. All right, you ready?
Sound off.
The offensive line is capable of being very, very good and needs to work on consistency.
Absolutely.
I agree. I'm worried about the receiving game, yet there's potential to be great.
I totally agree again. I think, well,
great
maybe
might
great
be
might be a strong root, but I strong word. Chad Jackson is going to be a very, very good player. I just don't know when.
Told you. I told you that way back when.
Yeah. Well, I
told you a lot of things about Chad Jackson.
Exactly. You could have pretty much said, and I could have just said anything, and you could have said, I told you that about Chad Jackson long time ago.
It's
you
one
told
of
me he
things,
was a bust. You told me he was a Pro Bowler. You told me he's a number one.
That I can't get a read on.
You told me he can't get on the field.
I can't get
a
read. It's all up in his head, and I don't know where that's going to go, and that may limit him.
I do think that's an issue with him. That's worth watching.
I know it's an issue. Linebackers not the liability I thought it could be.
Well, I don't think linebackers... the strength of the defense as it has been in the past.
No, but it shouldn't be right now. I think
no, I'm just saying,
seven,
no,
you dedicated three first-round picks. If those guys weren't developing into the heart of your defense, I think you'd be questioning the picks.
I'm not sure that it's not a problem yet. Let's put it that way. I think they've been okay. I'm not sure it's not going to be a problem.
I've been a little disappointed in the outside guys from with Colvin and Banta Kane. I really like Banta Kane, but my opinion hasn't changed. I haven't seen him do much when he's on the field. And I'm not going to pretend he's been playing. Last week he barely played at all. He, you know, played some limited. Seau, I think, has brought decent depth to the middle. I think he, if he can stay healthy, I'm comfortable with him on the football field.
They've played four games. Can you think of five times that you of plays by any linebacker, any of the four of them, or five of them, whatever many you want to include, that you said, that was a big play? You can never, you go back any year, and they can come right off, they roll right off your tongue. Well, you know, Vrabel's interception against Carolina, or, you know, Teddy Bruschi's dive and deflection in Miami in the end zone. I mean, they come right up to
Colvin
mind.
Colvin has made some plays early on.
I'm not saying they've been a problem. Don't misunderstand.
He could have had a pick that would have been very much like the Vrabel last week that he dropped. So I think he's okay. He's been okay, up and down, a little inconsistent. Banta Kane, aside from, you know, getting the pressure on Lossman for the sack and admittedly going for the strip sack there, aside from that, I don't think he's done a ton. But I didn't expect him to. He still has to evolve.
No, and look, I'm not saying that this is a problem. I think they've been okay. I just don't think they've been as good as they have been in the past, and I'm not sure that that won't eventually be a little bit of a problem, especially if you lose – you know, of Vrabel or, you know, or Bruschi long-term.
Our secondary looks okay, though I know I've missed some big pass plays.
you have missed some.
And I'm not sure the secondary is okay. I don't think they've made anywhere near enough plays, and they've given up too many big plays. Rodney Harrison has not done all that much. I think they're doing a good job of easing him back into it. But if this defense is going to be great, I think at some point he needs to be a factor. And he hasn't really been a factor right now. Is that accurate?
I would agree, yeah.
Obviously, Maroney is a revelation. What was it about Denver that shut him down?
I think that Denver stacked the box and said you guys going to have to beat us some other way.
Plus, they have very good linebackers.
Yeah, well, I think in particular, it's the speed at linebacker. And don't discount the fact that the Bengals were without two of their starting linebackers and kind of three, but specifically Odell Thurman and... there was another one that was inactive.
Pollock?
Oh, yeah, if you count Pollock, that's three. I don't really count him as a, I know that he probably technically plays linebacker, but I'm not looking. He's more of a pass rush kind of guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But they had a starter that was inactive for the game whose name is escaping me right now, and as you read the next email, I'll look in the Bengals media guide to find him.
I can't wait for the Indy game. For the long term, if we can get some young defensive talent, this team could stay good for a long time. You agree with that?
Well, that's.
I think they got some pretty good young talent.
That's Bill and Scott's philosophy: is they want to be in the mix every year, and they want to build and build and build. They always want to be getting better, and I think that they have succeeded in getting young talent.
Now I got to start reading emails fast because I just realized it's 10 of 1, and we got a ton of emails piling in. Although we haven't seen Fred and Tom yet, so we'll just run right through these. That was Rev Ray, by the way. I like.
Oh, Rev Ray's big. He's big time.
P.S. Is there any sort of draft compensation package that you would trade Tom Brady for? Like, how about 6 first-round draft picks?
No.
Would you do that deal?
No.
What would it take? Just curious.
No. And I'm being dead serious when I say this. No. Because that's the hardest position on the field to fill.
Okay.
What do you think? Would you?
No. Mike, I want to talk about the defense. With all the talk about the offense, we have missed the fact that the D is having problems stopping the run. I think the only game we did well was against the poor Jets running game. What say you? Thank you. Mike from Thomas Gay, Florida.
I didn't think they did a terrible job in the opener against Buffalo.
They've been okay.
I thought they did all right against
the Buffalo one. They gave up some plays when Don Davis was on the field in sub-packages. They gave up a couple big runs.
Well, I thought that McGahee ran pretty well in the first half.
And then
in the second half, I thought they did a good job of shutting him down. Now, the Jets, irrelevant, I agree with the emailer, because the Jets can't run on anybody. Now, I thought Denver ran the ball well, and I thought that Rudy Johnson was getting yards, but they didn't commit to him. But I don't think it's been the problem that the emailer
I think it's
does.
Been okay, and I think when this team wants to stop the run, they can. I think right now they are having to put a little more focus on stopping the pass, because that's more of a weakness, I think, at this point with the big plays.
It may have been Landon Johnson.
Landon Johnson. Dwayne Smith checking back
no,
in. This was his second email, as I told you. He emailed about 12 hours
apart. Ja Genty. He was inactive for the game, and he was listed as a starter.
Okay. Dwayne comes back with,
he's a rookie.
A thought just occurred to me. Is Damon Heward the NFL version of Matt Castle? Every team he goes to already has a solid or great quarterback in place. Check out some of the names. Dan Marino, Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady, Trent Green. After considering the talent he has played behind, I wouldn't be surprised if he has one of those Rich Gannon-type careers.
Well, Rich Gannon-type career. So he's going to be like the NFL MVP?
Late in his career, yeah.
No, Rich Gannon, no. Rich Gannon was the starter for a long time before he was the NFL MVP. I mean, he started in Washington, he started in Minnesota, he started in Kansas City, and then he went to the Raiders and became the NFL MVP. No?
Yeah, I was
reading
the next
email.
No, I was reading the next email, sorry.
Damon Heward also, by the way, in Miami, had a shot, one-on-one competition, open competition, he and Jay Fiedler, and he lost it.
I think he is what he is. I think he's the epitome of the veteran, solid backup who, you know, will get the job done over a short time, but isn't a starter.
He's one
of those 4A major league players.
Fred giving us his IQ from the other side of the glass, but he...
Hey.
I'm just telling you what
he
did.
It's a family show. Jeez.
We're on the radio, Andy. No one saw it. You didn't have to say it. Oh, by the way, when I say saw it, they make fun of me for my Boston accent now.
Just told my coworker.
Some of our listeners.
Listen to PFL
Progress. Well,
and he gave me the bird.
I give it the S-A-W-R-I-T, saw it.
We have Amir from Boxborough, and Amir happened to watch our TV show.
Boxborough is up my way.
Hi, I enjoyed watching you on NECN. By the way, we should let people know, Tuesday nights, New England Cable News, 11 o'clock, from now on through the rest of the season, Patriots Football Weekly Show, superstar Paul Perillo, the brains behind the operation, Fred Kirsch, Awesome Andy,
Andy
and
Hart,
some guy named Tom.
Andy Hart reading email, answering email.
That's right, looking into the camera. I need to watch that. It is always strange to see how different people look from the way they sound. Tom C. and Andy need to grow some hair. Maybe you should see Brady's hairstylist. You TV personalities have to look slick. I suggest a flat top for Andy and Steve Nash hair for Tom.
Wait,
watch the show and the bald guy sitting next to me didn't get any hair comments?
I was going to say, you watch the show and
he's
the one guy with the least
hair.
The least amount of hair didn't get mentioned. I applaud you.
Yes, we know Fred has plenty of hair. It comes out from underneath his shirt.
It doesn't have plenty of hair on top.
Disgusting. No, he's getting a little thin up
there.
He's
a little thin.
Too. It's the only place he's thin these days. Oh, just kidding, Fred.
How's that 30 pounds?
He's going to be mad at me. Looking at teams around the league, I see that all teams have injuries and that it is a part of the game. However, it seems to me that for the past 3 years, we keep hearing about devastating collection of injuries early in the year. Amazingly enough, in 2004, we had Troy Brown in the secondary and won a Super Bowl. Again this year, our new receivers start the season injured. The line is injured. Of course, Tom has taken his customary place on the injured list. So is it the way they practice? Is it the training staff? I think that...
Or is it every other team in the NFL as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I just think it's part of the game, and you get injuries, and, you know, Paul talks about the Bengals have a linebacker
have four,
in this team.
Four starters that missed the game.
I think it happens
injury,
to most
not counting Odell Thurman.
I think it's far rarer for a team to be relatively healthy almost all year than it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the Colts already. They're going to be without three Pro Bowlers.
Right.
Jeff Saturday's not going to play
Sanders.
This week. Sanders isn't going to play, and who am I missing?
I don't know. They were without Vinatieri.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be back.
One.
I saw they let Gramatica go.
Oh, Stokely's been out all year.
So
a lot of teams
it's
have
everybody.
Key
I mean, look, the Patriots have had a ton of injuries, but everybody has a ton of injuries. The reason the Patriots are so good is they have the preparation and the people in place to fill in. They have younger guys. They have veteran. Look at what they replaced the secondary guys with. They had Artrell Hawkins come back after missing a couple of games. Chad Scott, who started 100-plus games in his career in Pittsburgh. This is some experienced, talented guys. Nothing Cincinnati did the other day caught any of those guys by surprise.
Nope.
They've seen it all in the NFL. I think that's what the Patriots do better than everybody else is they're ready for those injuries, and they have got. It's not necessarily they have a ton of, you know, talented depth, but they have guys that can fill in. And I think that's
right.
What they do
and
better
guys,
than everybody.
They have confidence in that they can put
yes.
a scheme in place and have them fulfill it. Shoot, I had something I wanted to add to that. Anyway, Brady, the injury to Brady they referenced. Did you see Brady today going to the weight room with huge ice wrap on his elbow, huge ice wrap on his shoulder?
Did not
it's not
that.
So fraudulent that he's on the injury report every week, probable with right shoulder injury. He had a lot of wrappage on the right side of his body.
Wrappage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stuff that's wrapped. Wrappage. I think that the team looks great this year with the running game and the D-line exerting themselves early. I'm really excited to see where they go this year. Keep up the good work. We will, and Amir, keep watching.
You should be very...
Not only keep watching, tell five friends and tell them to tell five friends. We need a PFW pyramid scheme for viewers.
And to watch, yeah, Mekin. You should be very encouraged after that game on Sunday. I think they vault right to the top of the pack in the AFC.
Well, a lot of the rankings, they jump six, eight spots up the board. I mean, they're still fourth, fifth, sixth
which
in there. But
which I think is accurate. I know a lot of people were very critical of the rankings the prior week, but when you make a statement win like that against a good team on the road and you do it in such a convincing fashion, you deserve to move well up the charts.
Bob Lee, the host of ESPN's Outside the Lines, is our next emailer. Subject: evaluation of coaches.
I'm pretty sure it's not that Bob Lee.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
How do you know?
I'm just pretty sure.
Where do you think he gets all his good stuff?
Right here. How does he spell it?
Weekday. I don't know. B-O-B-L-E-E.
Yeah, L-E-Y would be Bob Lee on.
He's got to cover it a little bit, Paul. It'll be obvious if he spelled it the same way.
It's a good point.
He's stealing all his best stuff.
Jeff Spicoli is on Baseball Tonight.
I hear Tom going on and on about how great a coach that Jeff Fisher is. This prompted me to ask you guys a few questions about coaches in general. One, at what point should a team's performance denote that the coach is no longer should be looked upon as a good coach, or should a coach's performance always be attributed to his player's performance or talent or the general manager's draft selection process and still be touted as the greatest thing since sliced bread?
Everything should be taken into consideration.
Okay.
When you watch a coach, you have to take into consideration how much talent you think he has to work with, what kind of a staff he has, what kind of drafting the team has done. Is he getting, you know, as much out of a team as could, you know, do you think that they're underachieving? Do you think they're overachieving? You know, I've seen guys, you know, that I thought did great coaching jobs to go. I thought Romeo Crennel last year, I don't even know what Cleveland went, but was it 4 or 5 wins maybe? I think that, you know, based on the talent that Cleveland has, I think that was a remarkable coaching job. Now, I didn't watch them every game. I can't tell you his game coaching, if he made bad decisions or whatever, or things that, you know, I wouldn't have agreed with. Jeff Fisher has proven that when he has the guns, he can win. Bill Belichick has proven that when he has the guns, he can win. He's also shown that if he doesn't, he doesn't win.
Right. I would say that's the thing I agree with most is being a head coach, there's a million factors that come to play. And I think there are coaches who are great in some, not others, and they can't necessarily overcome their weaknesses with their strengths. There are others that they can. You know, I don't think there's such a thing as the greatest coach, the perfect coach, the guy who deals with players well, X's and O's well, deals with, you know, the personnel decisions, all of it. I think it's hard.
You have
strengths and weaknesses, and you just piece it all together and do what you think's right. And if you win, then you're a pretty good coach.
And again, I think that's what Bill and the Patriots have done better than everybody's. They've been able to mix all of those things and
right.
do all of those things as well as anybody, if not better.
Two. As you consistently mention that players' skills decline, do coaches' skills decline as well due to not keeping up with the times, not having the energy they had when they were younger to motivate players, not seeing as well when they are on the field during games, or just being more stubborn and less open-minded towards changing direction or being more conservative, a la Marty Ball? With this in mind, is it possible that potential Hall of Fame coaches could deteriorate to the point that they would no longer be performing at a Hall of Fame level, and would most pundits have the guts to acknowledge that? No to the final part.
Well,
people can't acknowledge that Brett Favre can't play anymore.
I agree with that, but I don't think that you can sit here, you know, is it possible that all those things that he just said could happen? I think yes. I think that you could have a guy who's maybe been around for 10 or 15 years and doesn't watch as much film as he did when he was 25, when he's 45, you know? You could have a guy who maybe isn't adapting to changes that are going on in the game. You could have a guy that's not keeping up with the salary cap and all of those things, but they're not necessarily things that are tangible, I don't
right.
think. How do you know if Bill Belichick watched more tape 5 years ago than he does today?
I don't.
No idea.
I'd ask Bears.
No idea. You know, so you can't necessarily say this guy can't coach anymore because he's not putting in the work that he used to put in. Now, you could say, wow, he's got a pretty good team and he's not getting the most out of it. You would think that with the amount of talent that, you know, right now, you know, you look at a team like Miami, is Nick Saban not a good coach? I think he's got pretty good players. I think he's a pretty good coach.
Bill Belichick,
but they're 1-3.
He's a great coach. You
Bill
can't
Belichick
stop talking
says,
about it.
Bill Belichick said there's not a coach in the league he has more respect for. Am I right or am I wrong on that?
Right.
So does that mean he's, all of a sudden he's not watching as much film this year? Because he can't win with the same team, you know, same.
He's a crippled quarterback and a stinky O-line. That's what I'm going with.
That's what I'm going with, too.
Buzza Hakan checks in. Wilson at corner, question mark? Is there a reason Wilson is listed as a corner on the injury report?
He plays corner and safety. I don't know what he's... I mean, I didn't necessarily look at the injury report, but he plays cornerback as you know, as much during the course of a game as he does any other position.
He's a defensive back.
You know, I mean, he plays a lot of the game as a cornerback.
Word. Do we need to take a break? I see Tom in the background. Fred,
and the boys
in the
background. Are here.
Well, before you take a break, I should mention that there's no way I can get a Steve Nash haircut because my hair is too thick, and I'll just end up looking like Kyle.
Well, did you miss the point of that though? The emailer chose to reference
about it.
You and I in talking about we didn't have enough hair. If we're going to be slick NFL in us, we need more hair. And skipped right past Baldy to my left on the show.
No one mentioned me, Tom.
I heard Andy take.
Maybe there was a glare. Maybe it was they were blinded and they never actually saw you.
No, Andy took a lot of shots at you.
Yeah, I know, but I should say it wouldn't matter if I had a Steve Nash haircut because no one would see me with Andy's head taking up the whole camera. you should see this pumpkin head. I mean, I want to take out a knife and start carving.
But no one sees us because there's a glare off Paul's head.
Just so you know,
although he's the one with all the hair.
In our opening show the other night, no one saw anything but Andy because it was yap, 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 yap.
Oh, interesting.
And by the way,
the only one who made that comment.
What does hair have to do with anything?
I don't know. They were just commenting that we didn't have the slick appearance of an NFL analyst.
I'm not going to grow hair, so I have to get up early in the morning and take a shower when I can take one at night, roll out of bed, get dressed, and come to work.
I agree. More hair discussion when we're back for the second hour of PFW in Progress.
The New England Patriots won an amazing 3 Super Bowl championships in 4 years. Relive these defining moments in Patriots history with a limited edition print featuring action photos and images of the 3 championship banners that now hang at Gillette Stadium. And if you think that's good,
it is good.
How about having it signed by perennial Pro Bowler Richard Seymour?
Gonna be shot, Richard Seymour.
This autographed print exclusively from the New England Patriots is perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points card and free 3 championship banner print signed by Richard Seymour. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 300 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
This is PFW in progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Chuck, I had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you wanted. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
You mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots games, I'll kill you.
PFW in progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
Okay, we're back here, and time to get serious because it's 1 o'clock on a Thursday, and that means it's time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks. Myself, Fred, Tom, Andy, Paul, we're all here. And we're going to throw a little wrinkle in
serious
this week and forevermore. We're going to not only pick the winner, but we'll do a little for entertainment only odds making. I guess handicapping.
And for the one guy whose whole life is depending on my one pick.
It was funny, though. You know how, like, you know, in those movies, the vampires, you get near the vampire with the cross and they start to, like, you know, shake? I brought the spreadsheet next to Tom, and the closer I got it, the more he started to shake.
Yeah, well, I'd like to take this moment to thank you, Fred, you know, from a guy who once bet $150,000 in 5 months and almost put a bullet in his head. I'd like to thank you for bringing the spreads out and putting them closer to me so I can go back to that lifestyle.
You're responsible.
Is that true?
Yeah. Wow. I got the book to prove it if you want to see it.
$150,000 in 5 months?
And you ended up losing all of it?
No, that's a whole back and forth kind of process, Fred. That's right. You're down 3,000, you bet 2,500 on the Sunday night game, you win, you keep going.
All right, let's not make, you know, too much of that around the office. You know, they might start questioning my hiring. Practice. If they haven't started doing that by now,
yeah, but I could sue you.
You're all right.
Better hide Kyle while you can.
I don't gamble.
I know.
Well, what I did 6 years ago, you can't hold against me now.
No, but they hold it against me.
For what? People, you know, I used to gamble. I don't anymore.
No, that's true.
And
it's true.
Some would say our intern still does something that he used to do. So,
okay, all right.
Keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Call it the Mile High City for nothing.
Paul,
Fred is like,
before we get into this week's games, how did we do last week, and what's the season standing?
Well, more importantly, are we starting over now?
No, we're still gonna. You're still gonna pick the winner, which will go into that column, but we'll have a separate thing.
Whoa.
Yeah, three separate.
Fred, Paul, you need a new notebook now.
Someone else is doing that then. What?
I'm not
just
keeping track of two
column.
Different things.
Just make a separate column.
Why?
So that we can know.
Because he's your boss and he told you to.
So that we can know how we
Fair
did.
Enough.
So we know how we did against the handicap as well as picking the winner.
Because you know you wouldn't be the star you are without this job right here.
Well, anyway.
I'm with Paul. I don't know.
You're either picking with the number or you're not. But whatever. I'll do whatever. I'll do what I'm told because that's what I do. Tom won the week last week, Fred.
That's not good news for that guy. I'm due for a stinker.
He went 10-4. Andy and Fred were right behind at 9-5, and I continue to be totally inept, and I was 8-6. So the season standings, Andy remains on top, 39-21. Fred, 38-22.
This guy.
Tom, 37-23. Paul, 36-24.
So it's a tight race.
It's a total embarrassment.
Why?
Because I'm in last place.
Yeah, I know, but
it's ridiculous.
You're going up against some heavy
hitters. Last place by one game. It's ridiculous.
Makes it sound like he's 12 games out. Yeah, but I don't know
this
if
is what
he
it feels
fancies
like.
Himself a football expert.
Well,
he did invent the game.
Invent the game, according to one local writer.
Steve Buckley, I'll say it.
Steve Buckley's getting on you?
No, not at all. And don't ever say that again.
He didn't say.
I just didn't feel real crisp.
But
on.
But you were on the big show yesterday, EI, talking a lot of baseball.
Yeah. I don't understand what they're doing on that
station.
Will
you tell them to shut up? Nobody cares about the Red Sox starting lineup in 2007. At least can we go through a little bit of the offseason before they're projecting next year's.
Plenty of time for that in December.
Yeah.
I understand. But I don't know why they're not talking about the Patriots. I think I maybe talked about an hour about football yesterday.
Well, I know. I would.
So you answered one question?
I tuned it in for a little bit today, and Dennis and Holly were talking a lot of Patriots.
Which show are you talking about?
I mean, Dale and Holly.
Combined two shows there.
Dale and Holly were talking a lot about the Patriots.
Michael Holly makes you look objective.
Is that right?
Nice package, Bear.
Okay.
Stop! Whoa, what's that?
That just scared Gary, and he put it on.
That's Dale.
Oh. All right. Let's get to the games. Let's first start with the Buffalo Bills at the Chicago Bears.
Ooh.
And just for, just to keep things standardized, we're going to be using the numbers that are available in the Boston Herald on Thursdays from now on.
Okay.
Okay. So that we do it the same way every week.
And what is the number?
The number is
1-800-494-PASS.
There you go.
59.
That's Chicago. Chicago is giving 10.5.
Man, my casino's got 11.5. Can I take that?
Nope. Chicago is giving 10.5. And I think we're going to get in a lot of trouble?
Well, just so you know. First of all, you should give that to Tom because you obviously don't know how to read them.
Took you forever. We know that the Bears are favored.
Andy and I were looking through the Miami Dolphins version of us, whatever that's called.
I gave that to Tom this morning.
What was that called?
Miami Digest.
Okay.
Dolphin Digest.
They had a whole thing. They had a whole column by the numbers with the.
Yeah, but that's not related to the team. It's not a team publication.
It's not?
No, it is not.
What is it?
That's a separate. They were allowed to use the Dolphin name, but that's a completely. That's Curtis Publishing.
Okay.
Nothing to do
they
with send the Dolphin.
It out,
I just asked.
Who sends it out?
ESPN has
our
a contract with the NFL.
They might get copies of it. Yeah.
What? ESPN has a contract with the NFL. They're picking against the number all the time.
Well, okay.
In other words, it's going to be a 1 week
deal. I'll take the fall. Don't worry about it. You guys are immune.
No, just put it on Tom.
I'll insulate you. Okay, so 10.5 is the number. Tom, who's going to win the game?
The Bears will win.
The Bears will win.
Yes.
And will they cover?
I don't lay 10.5 in the NFL. I'll take the points. Buffalo, as Fred and my feature story will tell you, the Bills have a pretty good defense. And I think a little bit of a letdown. They were really high for the Seattle game last week. So I think they start off a little slow. Bills aren't going to score much, but more of a 13-6 kind of game, I think. So I'm just going to take the big number here.
Okay. Andy.
I'm going to take the Bears to win and to cover. I think they get some defensive scores, beat up on Lossman and the Bills. I think they're a far better football team, and I think they cover.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Tom. I'm going to take the Bears to win the game, but somehow Buffalo, that's a big spread for an offense that's not generally one of the more high power. That's
they
a lot
are,
of points.
They here. Are scoring points.
Yeah, but a lot of them are on defense, and I'm a little leery that's going to continue. It's hard to rely on that. So I'll take the Bears to win the game and Buffalo to cover.
Well, I'm going to go with Andy. I'm going to take the Bears to win and cover because, with the Bears defense, I think a quarterback like Losman becomes that much more susceptible to the interception. He's also been fumbling, so... I think these guys know what they're talking about when they made that number. Okay.
They usually do.
Cleveland at the Carolina Panthers.
Interesting.
And in this game, the Panthers
are... 8.5.
No, it's 8.
Well, it's 9 in some places. Well, but
we're going by this.
I thought it was 8.5 when I looked at the paper when you gave it to me.
Can I see that?
8.
Paul doesn't believe me.
8.
It's 8. Tom.
Okay.
8.
Well, for those out there listening, this is my one. This is my lead pipe cinch. And
who's the guy? Who's the guy?
I don't know who, but this is the one, and I'll give you my reasonings. You never have
Dan Morgan's not playing again.
I know. You never have a game like this because you don't want to put everything on one game. But if you do, you want to have the home team. You want to have the team that you feel is better In other words, you don't want to take the Bills getting points if you're going to pick one game. You want to have the better team, and you want to have a team that you feel like is about to hit its stride. And I feel that the Panthers are about to hit their stride. If you look, you know, they haven't covered yet this year. Four games, zero covers. They're due. You know, you play in the odds there. The Browns are playing their third out of four road games, including their second in a row. The Panthers have started to run the ball well.
He's got notes over there.
Yeah, right. All of a sudden, he went into high gear.
Right, I'm looking down, and he's got notes.
Why is he sweating?
No, well, the guy wants a pick. I did some work, so if I don't get my iPod...
Oh, this is your lead pipe. Okay.
If I don't get my iPod, Jimmy Hoffa is not the only body they're going to be looking for when I find you. But to move forward, the Browns have been giving up a ton of yards on the ground, and Carolina is starting to run the ball well. Steve Smith is finally healthy. Both Browns starting cornerbacks could be out for this game. They're at least definitely injured, so they won't be at 100%. I just feel Carolina is due to blow somebody out. They're getting the right team at the right time at home. This is it. Mark it down. And I should say, remember who else is playing this week? Pittsburgh at San Diego. So this is, remember last year, that was my lead pipe cinch. I'm 1-0. We're going for 2-0. Good luck.
I don't know how I could go against all that research that and work, so that, I'm going with Tom.
Just so you know, the correlation between the Pittsburgh-San Diego and this one, that would mean that the Panthers would score on the last play of the game.
Win by 10.
Right.
And then go for two.
Right. They'll be up three in the very final play.
If that guy's down $3,000 and just got even, he won't care how happened.
I'm going with Tom.
He might not be around for the end of the game, though.
With all that research he did, I don't know how you could go against him.
All right, and Paul.
You know, I'm going to echo Andy's sentiments. When you have a little crypt sheet over there and you're sweating profusely, and all of a sudden,
keep in mind, I looked over every game.
Yeah, the amount of preparation that went into that game, the fact that the Panthers are 0-4 against the number so far this year, I'm going with the Panthers.
Just due to blow
I think Carolina is one of those teams. For whatever reason, they start off every season slow,
and then they kind of start beating up on some bad teams.
I thought they had a good win last week against the Saints, who were playing very well. I thought that was a good solid win for them to come up with, and I agree with Tom. I think they're about to kind of hit their stride.
I also don't really like Charlie Fry. I've been watching some of him.
Oh, what an interception
he's
had
last
week.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to pick the Panthers to win this game. Browns, you know, had a tough win. They absolutely needed it last week to get off the schneid. Fans were really getting restless there, getting on Cornell.
That doesn't count, though. What? It was against Oakland.
I give them a lot of credit because they had that really, really disappointing loss to Baltimore the previous week,
where they should have won the game.
Were
down, what,
and they're
21-3.
Down 21-3 on the road against a terrible team.
Yeah, 24-0, I thought.
21-3, and they won 24-21.
Yeah, so, you know, that was a good comeback. It showed a lot, but I think they're just not that good a team, so I'm going to go with the Panthers as well and to cover. All right, next game, still Sunday at 1, Detroit at Minnesota. In this game, Minnesota is favored by 6.5. 6.5 at Minnesota against Detroit.
Well, I don't have crib notes for this one, but I'll take Minnesota to win the game.
Fuck it, Tyler.
And I will...
Boy, this show's really going up.
I will take Minnesota to cover the number at home. I just think Detroit hasn't found what direction they're going in yet. Some weeks they score 6 points, some weeks they score 34 points, and both weeks they lose. So I'm going to go with Minnesota to kind of get an easy win at home.
I am going to take Minnesota in the game, but I'm going to take the points with the Lions. I don't think Minnesota is as good as people are trying to make them out to be a couple weeks ago. I think the Lions can hang with them and keep it close and score enough points to stay under the number.
Okay, Paul.
I agree with Andy that I don't think the Vikings are as good as some people were making, and I think I was probably guilty. I thought they were a little bit better, but they haven't played well. However, Detroit is just a mess, and I'm going to take the Vikings at home to not only win but cover the number.
I'm going to go with the Vikings in the win, but I'm going to go with Detroit beating the spread. Minnesota, I think they're due to have a stinker of a game and really show their true colors. So.
Wait, so who'd you pick?
The last 2 weeks?
Minnesota to win.
Who did Minnesota lose to last week?
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
At Buffalo. Well, right. They were on the road at Buffalo. They lost that tough one to the Bears. I'm not ready to say they're a terrible team yet.
I didn't say they were terrible. No, I just thought they were better than that.
Okay.
I just think Buffalo could upset some people at home.
Okay.
Pretty good defense. I don't know if you know.
got that great defense.
Next game is the Rams travel to Green Bay. This is still a 1 o'clock game, and the Rams are favored by 3.
Yeah. Something stinks, and it's not the cheese, if you know what I mean. This doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm going to take the Rams to win because I can't pick the Packers by law, but I'm going to take the Packers with the points just because something's not right here. I feel something brewing in this game.
Okay.
Like what? I don't like the number.
It's a red flag number.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
And so I'm going to cover myself. I'm going to take the Rams to win so I don't have to actually pick the Packers, but I'll take the Packers with the points. So either way, I come out with a win in this game probably.
It's 3, you said, Fred?
Yeah. Andy?
I'll take the Rams.
Both ways?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, Packers, not good for much. Favre's banged up. Amon Green banged up, screwing me and my fantasy football team last week. Although I was looking through the numbers, one of the most interesting numbers I thought, the Rams give up like 28 and change on kickoffs. By far the worst. I mean, most teams are like 20, 21, 22. Jumps up to 27 and change for kick return.
That might have been a problem if Corn Robinson wasn't in the clink.
In the pokey.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams too, both sides, to win.
He's
and
going
cover.
To the pokey.
I just think Green Bay is just a bad, bad team, and they haven't even played well at home, so you can't even give the Lambeau factor. They played Monday night. I think, you know, the Rams, I have no idea about the Rams, but
yeah,
I'm just picking against Green Bay here.
I mean, Green Bay had a little bit of a resurgence, then last week they lost, and I guess the reports out of the locker room were that Brett Favre looked like that was it for him. You know, in front of
looks
his locker.
Looks like that for a year and a half.
Then I got a shot to cover.
It's just like kind of that.
You get Aaron Rodgers to play.
You know, that was his last hurrah the week before. And
what did he expect?
What did he expect?
Fred, what are you talking about? I thought the guy was great because I listened to the his broadcast for 3.5 quarters, and they talked about how great he was.
I know.
I don't understand. They said reports of his demise were premature because he had one good game against the Lions.
Yeah.
So
he also told me that Donovan McNabb can bench 500 pounds. No freaking way.
He's got those short arms.
No, so do you.
We're talking about Mike Wright territory.
Yeah, do you really think Donovan McNabb can bench 500 pounds?
Well, maybe once.
Fred, he can't.
I don't know.
He wouldn't play again. If he tried to do that, he wouldn't play again for years.
You know why?
There'll be so much damage.
Fred, you know why else he can't? Because quarterbacks don't bench that way. He wouldn't bench for strength that way because it'll hurt his shoulders.
I know, but
so that was a totally.
There's some guys that have like just a certain lift that they can do better than anything.
But the 500 pounds isn't that lift. You get to a point like 300,
right,
and then it stops.
Which, by the way, you want inward.
Who said he could?
One of the announcers, strong as ever, now benching 500 pounds.
I just can't imagine that that's true.
Paul Perillo, Fred, 135 on the bar. Can he do 5 reps?
135.
That's should the be
45
able to.
On
the
45
each side.
On each side.
Should be able to.
I got yes. Andy's got no.
You should have seen the look on Paul's face.
I have no idea.
It was such a sad sack look.
Just don't think it could happen.
That's
going in the nightmare
in 20
before
years.
Christmas.
Yeah.
I have not tried to bench any kind of weight in at least 20 years.
Oh, man.
I think we need to set it up.
Sorry, let me 16 years. It's been 16 years since I graduated college, so I'll say 16 years.
Paul, you should really get some kind of regiment like Fred has. Stop embarrassing.
I know I could get rid of that 30 pounds in no time if I did.
I'm 72, and I know I can do that. You know,
Fred, can we do video podcasts?
What?
Can we do video podcasts? Could we set this up as a potential video podcast?
No way benching.
When I get my iPod.
Yeah, when you get your video iPod.
Please, God, no. Where were we? Okay. Is Mark Bulger one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think he, you know what I think
Jason,
he is?
Seahorn he is.
I think he's Steve Grogan.
Yeah.
I think he's the most consistently inconsistent quarterback in football.
He goes in streaks.
He'll have a throw for 350 and 4 touchdowns. He'll follow it up with a 120 and 3 interceptions.
See, I agree with Paul, but
I think he's good. But I just don't think
he's
consistent.
See him in this new offense because the way Martz runs his offense is you do turn the ball over a lot.
That's
so maybe under Linehan he kind of cuts down. So I have to wait and see, because I'm with Paul. Right now I have no
clue
about
the Rams.
I have no clue.
All right, I'm going to go both ways with the Rams.
There's a surprise.
Waiting for Gary. Gary's too busy playing solitaire. He didn't catch
Gary,
that.
Fred goes both ways, he said.
With Rams.
With Rams.
I didn't even think of the Rams.
I didn't either.
All right, next game.
It's against the law, isn't
still,
it, Fred?
In some states. Sunday at 1, Tampa Bay at the Saints. And I would imagine the Saints are favored here. Where are we?
Six.
Yes, the Saints are getting 6.5.
Oh,
at home.
Saints are getting giving?
They're favored by 6.5 at home against the Buccaneers.
I'll take the Saints.
Buccaneers are in shambles.
Oh,
right?
Whoa. What? I'll take the Saints to win, but I'll take Tampa Bay to cover with Gretkowski leading them to a hard-fought game. The games between these two teams are always close, and Tampa Bay's got their backs to the wall. I think they'll play a pretty good game on the defensive side of the ball.
I guess Kenyatta Walker's out.
Gone. Yeah, well, he sucked anyway, so whoever they're putting in can't be that
much
worse.
It's a rookie.
But I'll take 6.5. You know, that's I'll take the points there.
Okay.
I'll take the Saints to win and cover. As much as I love the Bruce Gradkowski story, I'm not sure how it's going to play out.
With left side of the paper heart over here, I'll have no problem winning this on the spread. He's got every favorite in the book.
Do I?
Okay.
I take Detroit.
I took Detroit.
That was
get off my back.
You got some kind of Lions fetish, though. That doesn't even count.
That's true. I've been on the Lions for years.
I'm going to go with the Saints on both sides as well.
Left side of the page, Perillo, too.
No, I took Buffalo.
So we both got one.
I like to take the underdogs.
I just don't.
That's why you bet $150,000 5 months.
When I did, I wasn't taking too many underdogs. It's different when you got money on the line. You're taking the Colts.
I'll take the Colts and the Patriots.
I wasn't at the combine with the two superstar scouts over there, so I don't have this man love for Bruce. Is it Gradkowski?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have that fetish that they do. So. I'll just go with him as a rookie quarterback making his first career start. I don't think it'll go well. I'll take the Saints.
He is Tom Brady. He is Tom Brady, too.
And we should mention close personal friends with one Ray Bubba Ventrone.
Yes.
Okay.
All the more reason. Saints.
It's one of the Fred Kirsch ones. It's written. He doesn't know it yet, but it's been written.
Okay.
It's the exact same story. Sims goes down with an internal injury, walks off the field, suddenly
it is.
Gradkowski
is pretty scary.
Sixth round pick off the bench.
Why then would you have picked the Saints not only to win the game but to cover?
Because I don't even believe my own crap.
It is a little scary, though, how we kind of mentioned he was similar to Brady in the ways that he plays, and then Sims goes down
with a ruptured spleen. Yeah, right. It's not like he went down with a rolled ankle.
No, and he was bleeding internally, and they let him keep playing, and he walked off and all that. Then he's rushed to the hospital, and he nearly dies.
That's eerie.
It is.
It reminds me of what they're trying to sell in Miami this morning about the similarities between the 0-1 Patriots and the Dolphins this year, but we'll get into that.
No one picks the 0-1 Patriots
right, before
to go to
the
Super Bowl.
You mentioned the word eerie, and I just should mention this because I think it's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. You saw the Torrey Hunter play?
Yes.
Right? 4 years to the day, he did the same exact thing
to Ray
against
Durham.
The same team.
Yep.
That's amazing. I mean, can you imagine that? The same team got an inside the park home run.
I'm not even mad.
When he tried that.
That's amazing.
4 years to the day.
That's something.
That was a bad play by a great defensive player, by the way.
I'm going to go with the Saints on both sides. Okay, let's move over to Tennessee at the Colts. It's Sunday at 1. Indy is giving 18 points in this game. Shows you how far the Titans have fallen. Tom.
Well, I'm obviously taking the Colts to win. The problem with laying 18 is you got to be up by 31 late in the game to prevent that backdoor cover. Someone always told me you never lay more than 17 in the NFL. The record, it doesn't happen.
Was that
often.
Joey the Nose?
No, it's only happened like 6 or 7 times.
I don't know who they're playing.
There's only
next
been
week
like one team that's ever covered the number. I'm going to go with the Titans getting the 18. Vince Young runs one in at the end to backdoor it.
Well, the question has Fisher completely lost control of this team? He's not talking apparently with the GM. I mean, is this a team without a leader right now?
They have a leader. His name is Vince Young.
There's not even Steve McNair around anymore.
Vince Young is a special leader. He'll lead them to the promised land.
You know, what's going on with this
team?
That's
basically why I took the 18, because you figure it's going to be like 35-3. Manning's going to sit, and I'm hoping Young's going to run around, score a couple of late touchdowns. That's what I'm going with.
I'm going to take the Colts and then the points, because Tom knows more about this than me, and apparently it doesn't happen all that often when a team covers 18 points.
Well, because of just what I said. They end up sitting the starters, and you still got Vince Young in there trying his butt off.
Right. Plus, I can root for a late Vince Young touchdown.
Does Young start this game?
Yeah, he's the starter.
He's the starter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts and the Titans to cover as well. The only, you know, I think Tom's theory is very sound. The worry is that it goes the opposite way, and it went the opposite way for Tennessee last week, whereas they kind of hung around for a while, and then the Cowboys took control of the game, and
then
all of a sudden Young makes, you know,
we would be in trouble.
Two or three real mistakes at the end, and it makes it the 45-14, you know. A-Rod struck out with the bases loaded and two outs. You hardly ever see that. Anyway,
I'm
going to take the Colts
to
win the game and probably do it just the way Tom just said. This could be ugly, though, with the way that Colts defense plays, you know, if they, you know, because they're not a very good defense, but they do have a lot of speed and they do, like, swarm to the ball. And, you know, I could see them scoring a defensive touchdown or two in the second half of this game once they have the big lead.
And yeah, my boy could be prone to that.
But that's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to go with the Colts both ways. I think they're going to cover here. And one of the reasons I think that they made this number is because Tennessee is in such disarray. I think Fisher wants out. I think these guys know it. And he might have bagged the season by now. I think he wants out of this thing. The rumors are that he and the GM might be gone.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, you know. He might be saying, giving the big you-know-what to Bud Adams.
Jeff Fisher next year, assistant head coach / fill in the blank.
Oh, he'd never do that.
Go f***
Why
yourself.
Not? What if he doesn't have an opportunity to go somewhere
else? Oh,
are you
kidding me? One team out there would fire their coach to get Jeff Fisher. You know, he's an upgrade.
All right, so what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't have a job?
Then would he come here? I'd take him if he would. Absolutely. But I
don't know if you know, they only promote from within.
No, I think that
got me in trouble last time I talked about that.
I think there's half the teams in the league he would be an immediate upgrade, so they'd get rid of the coach that they have, pay him off, buy out his contract, and bring Fisher in.
I agree.
If he's available.
I agree.
I think Fisher's one of the top two, you know, three
Green
coaches
Bay
in the
Packers.
League.
He'd be a great fit.
I like Jeff Fisher a lot.
Yeah, he'd be great.
A potentially
in Green Bay.
Iconic coach with an iconic franchise.
Sure.
By the way, David Givens is out, huh?
Yeah, finger, thumb, something like that.
That's all over, by the way. It's 18-8, you know.
What did we bet?
A lunch.
Sub?
Yeah, I owe him and him a lunch, too. So.
You know I make out in that because I'm not just going to go buy you a sub, so I'm going to buy myself a sub.
18-8, by the way. Drew Bennett over.
It's a long season, Paul.
It's all over. It's all over. But I don't think Givens ends up with 18 catches. I think it's over now. I think it's mathematically eliminated. Vince Young playing?
If he doesn't get 18 catches, wow, is that a bust of a signing.
All right, so I'm the only one that likes the Colts both ways. All right, let's go to Sunday at 1.
It was Rams. Now it's the Colts he's doing both ways.
Redskins at the Giants. The Giants are favored by 4. This is in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, this was the one I almost picked. This came in second. I like the Giants pretty easily in this game. They've been dominating the Redskins at home lately. They had the week off to stew over that Seattle. I know the Redskins came back and beat Jacksonville last week and scored a lot of points. I just don't feel like that team is clicking altogether. You know, the defense is still struggling. I think the Giants just have too much on offense for them.
All right, Andy.
I don't love the Giants, but in this situation, I'm going with the Giants and to cover. I just have this thing. I can't put any faith in Mark Brunell when he's leading a team. And I really feel like he holds...
Also leading Kyle's fantasy team.
I really feel like... I know he's, you know, put some numbers up, whatever. I just don't put any faith in him that when I need him to put a drive together to win a game, that he can do it. I don't know why. I don't feel it at all. So I like the Giants here, even if they're in a little bit of a turmoil and all the infighting. And I saw some, apparently their assistant coaches talk, because I saw Huffnagel quoted and some other guy quoted and talking about Shockey and all the different things. And that's not a situation I like, but I think they put it together and win this one.
I agree with Andy's assessment of Brunell. Every week it seems like you see the stats come up, and you're like, wow, we threw for 300 and something yards and three touchdowns, including a 70 whatever yarder in overtime to win the game. And I'm like, wow, hey, you must have had a really big game. And then you watch the highlights, and you're like, wow, that was a lucky throw. Wow, we threw into double coverage there, and Santana Moss bailed him out by splitting them. I just don't think he's very good. I think he's lucky.
Moss comes down with these balls somehow, and he's so fast that once he comes down, he just, whoosh, he's gone.
You know, now, I thought the overtime game winner was not as lucky as it may have looked. I thought he did a good job of, like, looking off the safety and kind of catching, catching the Jags. But I just don't think that he's real. He hasn't inspired confidence with me. I think if you get a little pressure on him, I've been disappointed with the Giants' defense. I thought that
their defense
I thought was going to be much better this year, and so far it's been pretty pedestrian. But I'll take the Giants to win and cover.
Me too. I'm going to take
the Giants both ways.
Who inspires more confidence for you, Paul? J.T. O'Sullivan or Mark Brunell?
J.T. O'Sullivan can't play. Not with that hair.
All right. Okay, let's go to the 4 o'clock games. Kansas City at the Cardinals. And Kansas City is favored by 3.5 points. 3.5.
KC is favored, huh?
Yes, Kansas City is favored.
And Leinart is starting?
Yeah. This is I kind of got two theories going here. The two bad teams, you take the home team. And then I got the AFC-NFC theory going.
Yeah.
Green's lucky.
Yeah, Denny Green's lucky. That's true.
Lucky song, bitch.
This is a toss-up, so I'm going to take the Chiefs. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win and cover, I guess, hoping their defense can stifle Leinart for at least a week until he ends up being the Pro Bowler that I'm sure he will be under Denny Green.
I'm going to take the Cards, and I'm going to take the Cards with the points.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us why, please.
Because I think they get a nice little boost here out of Matt Leinart. I think he's a pretty good young quarterback. I think he's going to get the ball to those receivers. I think he's got a little Tom Brady in him where he's not a runner, but I think he can avoid some of the pressures that Kurt Warner can't and make plays and get rid of the ball before he fumbles or before he gets forced into a bad decision. And I think they have the offensive weapons. Not sold on the whole Damon Heward is the next NFL MVP, as one of our emailers believed. And I don't think that defense in Kansas City is very good. So I think Leinart will put up some points.
6 points in 2 weeks.
Nothing.
Paul.
I have had a tough time with Kansas City so far in the early going and haven't really seemed to get a case in point. Fred, I had the Niners last week. They lost 41-0 against Kansas City. So I don't really know how I feel about this one. If Warner was playing, I think I would probably feel a little bit more confident. But I'm going to take Kansas City. I'm going to take Kansas City both ways. I think they're a better team, but I'm not overly confident with this. If Warner was playing, I think I would take the Cardinals. But I'm sure that this means that Leinart will come and light it up. Right. But I'll take Kansas City both sides.
Well, I'm going to split it down the middle. I'm going to take Kansas City to win. I'm going to take the Cardinals to cover. Just because it's at home in Arizona. All right, let's go to the Jets at the Jaguars. Sunday, 4:05. And the Jaguars are favored by a touchdown, 7 points.
Well, the Jaguars, being the fraud team that we all knew they were, play much better at home than they do on the road. That just shows you that they're a fraud. Because at home, you can't score a point on them. On the road, teams are scoring 30 on them. The Jets, I like as an underdog. But I just feel they're going into a hornet's nest here. They can't stop the run. They can't run the football. Pennington's going to be under too much pressure. I'll take Jacksonville at home.
Okay.
Both ways. Even though it pains me to give 7 to the Jets, I just think this is a bad week for them.
Andy.
I'm going to take the Jags to win, but I'm going to take the points.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
I think the Jags are the more talented team, and we've seen from the Jets that they probably have the bigger heart. And Eric Mangini's going to get them to buy into everything that he's trying to do. So I don't think they probably have the guns to win this game on the road, but I think they keep it close.
Paul.
I'm going to take Jacksonville to win and cover, and I think the Jets are going to have to come down from a very emotional, disappointing loss. They kind of threw a lot at the Colts last week. You know, Mangini with all these gambles, onside kick, going for it on fourth down, fourth and goal from the 3. They put an awful lot into that game last week, and they get the emotional letdown of it. I think that you're going to see it this week, Jacksonville. Both sides.
I'll take Jacksonville to win. I'll take the Jets to cover.
I am really aligned with Fred on a lot of these picks.
But, you know, I think they'll cover, but I think in the end it won't be as close as the score is, you know. So, all right.
So the Jets get the last score to get the back door
cover. Something like that, yeah.
He's pretty much got every scenario covered today.
Okay, the Raiders are traveling.
I like the other team.
Are traveling to San Francisco.
Yeah, you may want to watch that.
San Francisco's favored by 3.5 in this game.
Well, this was third on. This came in third, but it went against my theory to take a good team, so I can't trust San Francisco.
I love his theories.
But I think Alex.
You have rules. He has theories.
I think Alex Smith has a huge day. Obviously, the Raiders have more problems than we even see on the field with Randy Moss saying nobody cares, so why should he? This is one of those games where San Francisco isn't a good team, but they see a team worse than them coming in where they can beat up on and, you know, get a victory. So I like the 49ers.
Plus, they were embarrassed last week.
Yeah,
so they've got to,
each way.
Yeah.
I like the 49ers both ways. I agree with pretty much everything Tom said. The Raiders are clearly more of an issue, you know, at odds internally more than we even knew. Beyond the obvious where they hired a mayor to be their offensive coordinator, and every coach on the team is like 85 or older and been away from football for too long.
Don't forget to throw in he was the mayor like of Idaho. It wasn't even like he was like some
right.
big shot.
Right, he wasn't
York.
No
he
big
was
city.
He
no.
some little yeah. town in
yeah.
Idaho.
Right. Yeah, this is a game where I agree with Tom. I think the 49ers aren't a great team, but they see a team we need to take this opportunity to beat up on somebody else.
Okay, and Paul.
I really have no idea why, Fred, but I'm going to take Oakland to win, obviously, and cover.
Really?
I can't wait to hear
every
this
dog has his
moment.
Day, huh?
No, because I'll tell you right now what will happen is Oakland will have a four-point lead that they'll have for 59.5 minutes, and then Alex Smith will throw a touchdown pass to what's the former Pitt receiver, Antonio Bryant, with like, you know, less than, it'll be an untimed down.
Well,
he'll throw a touchdown
you
pass.
You really are woe
and,
with
and they'll
me,
win.
Aren't you?
That's how I lose. Every time I pick and I'm the only one, I'm not talking about all my losses. I'm talking about
right.
whenever the three of you pick one and I'm the only one, I lose like in unbelievably heartbreaking fashion. On the last play of the game, 2 weeks in a row.
Never has anyone who has like 15 jobs and 30 paychecks coming in a week had a worse life than Paul.
It has nothing to do with having a bad life because I can't pick football games.
What's
the correlation?
You know what we call this in the gambling world, Fred? We call it a revenge play. He's so mad that he took San Francisco last week. He wants revenge against them.
I said that I have no idea why. I just think that Oakland, maybe Lamont Jordan runs it right down San Francisco's throat. He had a big week last week.
Yeah, I'll take 49ers both ways in this game. Okay, this is probably the premier game of the week. Sunday 4:15, Dallas travels to Philadelphia, and the Philadelphia Eagles are favored by 2 points. 2 points. It's a basic lock.
I have a slight side interest in this game, but I took the Eagles in the paper. But I saw some things Monday night that concerned me that I think the Cowboys can take advantage of. They're weak at the tackle position. They have problems in the secondary. I think T.O., I think he's been waiting. He's been waiting all year for this. I think he has a big game.
Keep waiting, though, because Bledsoe's a quarterback.
Well,
no.
Yeah, but did you? I don't know who that number 22 guy was who was covering the receivers for the Packers, but if he's covering Glenn or T.O., it's good night. I can
he's
tell you that.
So
I'm going to take the Cowboys with a slight upset on the road to win the game by 3 points, which obviously means I think they'll cover, but it's going to be a tight one.
It's going to be a good one.
What's the spread?
2. Dallas giving 2. Favored by 2. Dallas.
Road?
On the road.
Interesting.
No.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The
Eagles.
Eagles
are favored by 2.
Eagles are favored by 2.
I can't listen to a word he says. I am.
He doesn't know how to read them, that's why.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I am going to say the Cowboys win the game outright. I think. This is a tough one, one of those AFC's games. I don't know. I don't think either team is all that good or all that bad.
Yeah, this is one of those games where you just think, who's going to win?
I think both teams could win. I think both teams could lose. You know, I don't have a strong feeling in either direction. Unfortunately, I'm hooking myself to Drew and his fourth quarter pick for a score that wins the game for the Eagles.
You were horrible.
Well, I'm actually going to look at just the opposite. I think McNabb has played great football, but I think this game is just so emotionally wound for him that he's going to go out and make some mistakes. I think the Cowboys' defense No one's talked about that. I think the Cowboys' defense is going to win this game for Dallas. I think that.
Hope so. I picked him up for fantasy.
I think that T.O.
Kornheiser.
I think T.O. plays a complementary role, and they run the ball. And the Cowboys' defense wins the game in one of those NFC East, like 16-13 kind of hard-fought defensive struggle.
This is a tough one. I was thinking the same thing, except I was thinking Jimmy Johnson's defense would win the game.
Could be.
And, you know.
Yeah, but he thought Jimmy Johnson was the head coach of the Cowboys.
Right.
No, no. I'm going with the Eagles in this game to win and cover. All right. This is the Sunday night game, 8:15. Pittsburgh gets back on the playing field after their bye week. They're going to San Diego. And according to this paper, the Chargers are favored by 3.5 in this game.
Well, you know who I'm going to pick, baby. Blowout City. Getting the points. You know, I told you how you got to beat Drew Brees. You blitz him up the middle. And Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees are all the same. Pittsburgh's blitz, the bye week. I think their defense comes out, has a huge game. I think the game can go either way, and it's going to be close. But if you're going to give me 3.5 with both these teams, then I'll go with the Steelers getting the points, and I guess I'll take them to win, too.
I take the under. Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Because these are two teams with defenses. They want to run the ball, and they, you know, best thing for them is their quarterback throws the ball like 6 times in the game. That's both, you know, both teams play that way. I'm going to take the Chargers. I think they win this one at home. Look for LT to have a big week. Phillip Rivers, maybe a little bit of a coming out party here with another young quarterback, a little head-to-head duel here. Maybe this is a rivalry we'll see in the coming years as these two teams remain strong. I'm just not sold on how the Steelers are playing right now, how Roethlisberger's playing right now, and I think San Diego makes more plays.
Okay.
Cover? Well, cover?
Yeah.
I'm going to take San Diego to win the game, but that half point is going to allow me to take the Steelers to cover.
Apparently Fred agrees.
Evidently Fred agrees, which is disastrous for me.
I'm right with Paul. I'm going with the Chargers to win, but the Steelers to cover. Lose the game by 2 or 3 points. All right.
I should have a revenge pick here as well, Tom, for what San Diego did to me last week.
Right.
All right. Monday night game. Denver is home against the Ravens, the high-flying Ravens, I should say. And Denver is favored by 4 points. 4 points. Tom. He's really mulling this one
that
over.
That heavy breathing is thought.
He's really mulling this over.
Or Fred with a ram.
I didn't know the line was 4. That's a tough one.
What'd you think it was?
Did you have all different lines on your thing?
Yeah.
Well, all different casinos have different numbers.
I didn't know what the line. I never looked. I never really looked at this game because it's just too even. I'm going to take the Broncos to win the game at home.
It's a tough one.
The Ravens are due. They're due to lay an egg. I'm going to go with Denver to cover, I guess. That's the worst one of the picks, though. I have no clue. I'm just going to take them.
Yeah.
I take the under again.
Sure. 33, by the way.
I'll take the under.
Yeah.
I like the over.
I will take... Ah, jeez. I'm going to take the Ravens to win outright. And I think Steve McNair, as much as Paul says, hasn't made a difference in Baltimore.
Let's do a little full disclosure here. What did I say last week?
Paul admitted that Steve McNair
has made an enormous difference.
He's made some plays that the other guys wouldn't
He's
have
He's legitimized
made.
Them for the first
they
time.
They have no offense, just like they always never had any offense. But however, the difference is he makes the plays to win the game, and he did it 2 weeks in a row. He made a believer out of
it. And
me.
He does it again.
Now, what happens in week 12 when he's on the DL, I have no...
Because you know that's coming.
Especially, did you watch him play last week, the beating he took?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, this is going to sound stupid.
That is no surprise
there.
Especially
with a bunch of candy in your mouth.
With the way that they're deep. But I wasn't overly impressed with their defense against San Diego. I thought San Diego could have scored a lot more.
Artie Schottenheimer was the only one that could hold San Diego to the amount of points they ended up with in that game.
I think Baltimore may get into the playoffs, but I don't know if their defense is quite as good as people think right now.
Okay.
I'm going to take Denver to win and cover because I'm an idiot and I have to be consistent with my Ravens bashing.
Paul, I'm with you. I think Denver
just proves you're an idiot.
I think that Denver's defense I'm thinking that it's for real. So we'll see. All right.
You back on the Broncos?
No, I'm never going to be back on the Broncos. I'm off of them.
What about when you open your fly fishing shop in Montana? Won't they be the closest team that you can root for?
By then I won't care about football. Okay, let's go back to the Patriots game Sunday at 1 here at Gillette Stadium. Miami, of course, is coming to town, and Miami's always giving the Patriots a hard time. However, the wise guys say that the Patriots are favored by 9.5 in this game.
Well, apparently the bettors disagree because it's up to 11 where I've seen it. 9.5.
Not that he's looking.
Well, I looked to see for today. I wanted to get an insight on some of the lines. At 11, I was going to go with the Dolphins because I'm thinking the Patriots by around 10 points. At 9.5, I got to go New England both ways. It's not enough value for me there.
Well, on our show, you said 24-13 Patriots.
Right. So, 11 means I picked the right exactly what the spread was.
But that's 9. You would still, Miami would cover.
24-13.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's
the
11.
Patriots would cover.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're
saying
right.
If I push, if it was 11 and I was going to push, I would take the points.
No sense of beating up on the man.
So I'll go with the Patriots. I don't think 9.5 is good value on that.
I'll go with the Patriots both ways as well. As you referenced the TV show, I went 24-10 somewhere in there. I think they'll have a pretty comfortable victory. There's always the chance that it's the Dolphins and they crap out and all of a sudden it's a one-score game, as Bill would say. I just can't predict that. Don't expect that. Of course, last week I said there was no way you could predict or expect the Patriots to win. So what I predict or expect doesn't really matter to it around here.
I agree. Patriots, both ways.
It's interesting. I was listening to what's the morning show? Dennis and Callahan and... They were talking about quotes coming out of Miami, and I guess Saban's selling the fact that, or not Saban, but the press down there is selling the fact that, you know, in 01, Belichick had a losing record, you know, well-respected coach, but a losing record. Saban has like a 500 record so far.
John Dennis.
Then, you know, they went down the line
to
do comparing the Dolphins of this year to the Patriots of 01, the same record at this point in the season, the whole thing, and, you know, Miami comes out better, so, you know, this could be a team that could turn it around, just like the Patriots did in 01.
I think that's stupid.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. I really don't.
I think the biggest question is, and you can't turn it around, it's Culpepper can't play.
But Saban says that he's getting better with every game.
Well, I'm sure he is, Bill. But you know, I just think he's a long way
away. The only thing that the Dolphins have going for them is they stop the run pretty well. And if they can control the running game and the Patriots' passing attack goes kind of back to what we saw against Denver, then maybe they got a shot to do something. But
what did McGahee do against Miami, out of curiosity?
I'm not sure what he did himself. I know Miami is 7th in total defense and like 10th or 11th against the run, I think. So I'm not saying they're great, but they kind of control it.
Because they haven't been great in the past against the run.
No.
And in the recent past, obviously, I'm talking. They played, I know, Houston and Tennessee the last 2 weeks, who aren't going to kill you
right
on the ground. You know, Pittsburgh tore through them pretty well in that first game. And I don't know exactly what McGahee did. Now, Buffalo didn't do anything offensively in the game. They only had 14 points.
I don't think McGahee had over 100 yards in that game. But I'm just saying, they control it a little bit. I'm saying their one chance would be is if somehow they can control that running game and all of a sudden Brady is overthrowing receivers again. And it's that, like Fred said, what do you like to call those games? That it's kind of like the second quarter and it's 0-0. What do you say? You have a word for them.
Slobber knocker?
No, they're kind of like they're stuck in the mud type thing.
Bogged down.
Bogged down.
Right.
If the game gets like bogged down.
It's a great curse term there, bogged down.
Well, he said it. You know why I always remembered it? He said it before the Buffalo game last year when Bruschi came back, and it's exactly what happened. The game got bogged down. That would be the type of way I think the Dolphins could win if it was one of those kind of games, but I don't see it happening.
Okay, so I'm going with the Patriots both ways as well.
You can tape that and play it back every week.
There might be some time that he picks the other team to cover the spread.
Absolutely.
I disclose the notebook,
Tom,
but I had to wait for the spread.
Tom, I'm in this to win this year.
Texans.
Okay, I'm in this to win. But I predicted 33-10, so obviously I think, you know, it's going to be a big win for the Patriots. Although I have to admit, I'm Mr. Gullible, Mr. Knight. I was starting to get a little worried this morning when I was hearing all this stuff, you know, because you look at the Patriots in 01, you would never have thought, you know, if it was the other way around.
No doubt.
But you just don't, you know, Miami, there's so many people that predicted them to have a good year. Could they all
see,
be
I
that
think
off?
That's the difference.
Yes.
But I think they hinged
I
it on
the
Culpepper.
The Vikings last year.
They hinged it on Culpepper, and he's clearly not the quarterback
see,
he used
in,
to be.
See, in 2001, the Patriots were coming off of another year. There was no indication of the turnaround.
Right.
Because they were already bad, and then all of a sudden they lost their quarterback, and no one thought that was going to be the key.